This is Dr. David Whitlock with your Monday morning wake-up call. It's a podcast designed to help people wake up to the possibilities that surround them every day and maximize their potential for life. If I were to ask you, who are you, what would you tell me? I mean, who are you really? You remember that scene in Anger Management where they're in this group therapy session and Dr. Buddy Rydell, Jack Nicholson, asked Dave Busnick, Adam Sandler, a question about himself? Take a listen.
Dave, tell us about yourself. Who are you?
Well, I'm an executive assistant at a major pet products company.
Dave, I don't want you to tell us what you do. I want you to tell us who you are.
Oh, all right. I'm a pretty good guy. I like playing tennis on occasion.
Also, not your hobbies, Dave. Just simple. Tell us who you are.
I just... Maybe you could give me an example of what a good answer would be. What did you say?
You want Lou to tell you who you are.
No, I just, I'm a nice, easygoing man. I might be a little bit indecisive at times.
Dave, you're describing your personality. I want to know who you are.
I don't know what you want me to say. I mean, I'm sorry. I want to answer your question. Just not doing it right, I guess.
I think we're getting a picture. Dave.
Okay, so think about it. Who are you? To know thyself is the beginning of wisdom, Socrates said. I'll come back to that quote in just a moment, but the question, how do you know who you are? I'm indebted to motivational speaker and writer Brian Tracy for some of these concepts that I'm going to share with you. And I think he attributes some of this to psychologist Maxwell Maltz. But Tracy says our self-concept is made up of three parts, like three pieces of a pie. Your self-ideal, and then your self-image, and your self-esteem. Your self-ideal is that person you would like most to be. It's comprised of your hopes and your dreams, your values, your standards. It's important that you're clear about your self-ideal. Now, for me, the scriptures give me direction here. So in contrast to Socrates, knowing yourself is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So my self-ideal actually doesn't begin with the search for myself, but a fear of God, not a cringing kind of fear, but a deep and abiding respect, a love for Him, for God and His Word. So the Bible tells me that I am holy, that I am forgiven, that I am blessed, that I'm an overcomer. How can I say those things? Because the Bible says I'm a child of the Most High God. So my self-ideal begins with affirmations like those. And I could go on with many more positive affirmations about who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. But I make a habit of repeating statements like those every morning before I ever step out of the house. Not only is it like a spiritual IV in my veins, but it reminds me of who I am. I get bumped and pushed during the day as negative people try to define me, and I have a tendency to forget what God says about me. So my self-ideal is based in what the scriptures say I am, or who the scriptures say that I am. So I go back to that. And Tracy then says that your self-image, that's how you actually see yourself, your inner mirror. That's another reason I repeat the good things about myself, my self-ideal, that inner mirror. You know, it gets dirty, you might say, and you have to clean it off by going back to those positive statements about yourself ideal. For what you say about yourself, your self-ideal, well, that's going to filter into your self-image, how you see yourself. And remember, you'll always perform in life on the outside with a consistency of how you see yourself on the inside. So that's important. Don't let others determine who you are. So you have to be disciplined to see yourself through God's eyes. And the third piece of that pie, that puzzle, you might say, for the self-concept is your self-esteem. So your self-esteem is how you feel about yourself. The closer your self-concept, that's how you actually see yourself, the closer your self-concept is to your self-ideal, that's how you want to be, the closer they come together, the higher will be your self-esteem. In other words, the better you will feel about yourself. Now, here's the wonderful thing. This is really tremendous to me, is that God tells me who I am. And because of that, I know that although I may not be where I'm supposed to be, because of God's grace and forgiveness, I am on my way. I may not be what I'm supposed to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And under His hand of grace, I am on my way. Therefore, even though I fail, I can still have a positive self-esteem. I can feel good about myself. I can actually say I like myself. And you might as well like yourself, because you're going to spend a long time with yourself. All right, I want to pick up on this next week and talk about how we move toward being who we're supposed to be, even though we fail. So be sure to join me here next week. And in the meantime, go out and be the person you're supposed to be. Who are you?